Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We're going to be talking about what just happened in Turkey. Turkey just shot down a Russian fighter jet. This is a pretty big deal. Right now, I mean, Russia's been so involved in what's happening in the Middle East with Syria and is propping up Bashar, which is the president of Syria right now. And my goodness, these things are happening so fast that if you blink, you're going to miss it. These are truly the days of prophetic fulfillment. But that was a very, very big thing that happened. And you don't know, but this could be the beginning of World War III. I mean, Turkey has repeatedly warned Russia not to fly into their airspace. And in this particular case, they warned the pilot 10 times. And the pilot refused to comply, according to reports, and it was shot down. And according to NATO agreement, because Turkey is in NATO, Article 5 says that if Russia, let's say, retaliates, and Putin has said there will be consequences, then now other nations are going to be responsible for defending Turkey. This could be the beginning of World War III. I want you to watch this as CBN shares more with us and gives us some more details. Watch this.
We know that the discussions were definitely cut short as we hear of this news.
Yes.
About the, you know, the Turks had shot down this Russian plane. Mm-hmm. Might this lead to a war between Russia and Turkey? You know, what's going to happen?
You know, I don't see that happening, and I tell you why. It's because an attack against Turkey, this is not just a violation of Turkish airspace. It's a violation of NATO airspace because Turkey is a member of NATO. And so when the Russian pilot violated the airspace, it wasn't just Turkey, it was NATO airspace that was being violated. Now, if Russia attacks Turkey in response to that, the NATO members are obligated. An attack against a member of NATO, against one member, is an attack on all members. Russia will not want to attack a NATO member.
Amazing.
Yes, and they did violate the airspace, and the Turks say they warned them 10 times before they actually shot them down. So obviously Russia was in error here.
Amazing. What more can you tell us about the incident?
Well, we've learned that it wasn't just one Russian Air Force jet that was shot down or that was present in the skies. There were two. So they only shot one of them down, Charlene, but there were two there at the time. And then we've learned that one of the rescue helicopters, one of the Russian rescue helicopters that went to actually rescue the pilot who parachuted down from the aircraft, was actually shot down by rebel fighters in Syria.
Wow.
So also a helicopter was down, not just the Russian jet.
Well, the two countries seem to be at odds, even though Turkish President Erdogan said that his country harbors no enmity towards Russia.
Well, maybe not directly towards Russia, but obviously towards Russia allies. Turkey is very much opposed to the Assad regime. Erdogan is an enemy of the Assad regime. He wants to see it finished, and he wants to have access and control and influence over much of Syria, especially that area that is controlled and occupied by the Kurdish minority. They've had problems with the Kurds over the years, the Turks have, especially the PKK, the rebels from the Kurdish militia, the PKK, that have had raids inside Turkey. So they want to control especially that northern part of Syria where the Kurds are. And the Kurds told me when I was in the Kurdistan area of Syria just last spring, they said, look, the Turks are using ISIS against us. So the Turks have supported ISIS, and they've done it to maintain control and to minimize the influence and the effect of the Kurdish militias there.
What's the danger here of this incident or another one like it in the future?
The danger is this whole region of the world is very volatile. And again, as I said earlier, an attack against a NATO member, Turkey, is an attack on all members of NATO. If Russia were to aggressively go after Turkey, then all the NATO members, including the United States, France, Britain, Italy, the Netherlands, Germany, they would all have to join in and fight Russia. And that, I think, no one wants to see happen.
Wow, we are certainly living in some very serious days. And all of this is happening in the backyard of Israel. It's so important that we be on alert, that we're watchful, and of course that we continue to pray for the region and our servicemen that are in the region, as well as the safety of all Israelis.
We are in some very serious times, Steve. Mm-hmm. As you know, we've discussed many times on this program, and the question is, are we on the verge of World War III? From the beginning, we've been talking, you know, extensively that this could possibly be an Archduke Ferdinand moment. If they've been so many, this, you know, the Archduke, you know, Ferdinand moment was when he was assassinated, and no, you know, this seemed like a seemingly small thing. No one even really knew who this man was at the time, and who knew that it would be, you know, be the beginning of World War I. And so oftentimes we have the tendency to overlook events and say, oh, that was no big deal. And, you know, they're really not going to start a war. This would never happen. But how many times have we said that over and over again? Oh, this small group of, you know, radicals, they're not going to do anything. And then they start terrorizing the whole Middle East and do terrorist acts all over the world and all over the globe. And it's time to start really paying attention that the situations in the Middle East are so volatile that at any moment, really, one thing can, and you're not dealing with reasonable people. I mean, you're dealing with people like Putin and Assad and people in Iran. Listen, people have an agenda, believe it or not. They have an agenda. Mm-hmm. And a lot of what's going on with Russia has to do with oil. I mean, they understand that they cannot survive outside of oil. Some reports are that half of their budget is based upon oil selling at $100 a barrel. Mm-hmm. It's selling at about $50 a barrel. And they can't last much longer without any revenue. So all their involvement in the Middle East stems from they want a pipeline. They want control. And they want to be a major player in oil in order for them to survive. Well, they're going to do whatever is necessary for their survival. And it's just really amazing what's taking place. And many people are talking about Ezekiel 37, 38. You know, what is the prophetic timetable? Where are we in all of this? And what we want to do is have a what we call a connect the dot moment, where we bring into the program some of the things that we discussed in an earlier time in our program's history and kind of connect those dots with what we said in the past to what's actually going on right now. I want you to watch as Greg begins to talk about, is this the beginning of World War III? Watch this.
Did you know that President Woodrow Wilson ran on, we will never go to war? And he's the one that promoted the whole concept of war and realized that there had to be a war because people quit buying our had to get involved in the war, I meant. He promoted us getting involved in the war that started in World War I because we weren't involved in it. Because he realized that people quit buying our products and he could not have big government if, in fact, they were at war because they're spending all their money on war. So he ran for not going to war. Did you know that FDR ran for not going to war?
Mm-mm. Wow. That's wild.
What is the guy that had that movie about President Kennedy? What was this, the movie? The Grassy Knoll.
Way back when.
Oliver Stone?
Oliver Stone, yeah.
Yeah, he said this other day. He said the other day, he said, governments lie.
Imagine that.
I know. But you just don't want to believe it.
No.
Right.
But how many times do you have to, like, really? So the thing is, it's just, you know, abide on everything that you hear. But here we are right now where we are seeing the world pushed. You understand there was a Archduke Ferdinand moment, just one Ferdinand moment where a particular person got killed, and then that just progressed like dominoes and eventually led us into a war. And there's been so many of them right now. It has been amazing, and it's like God is holding and keeping us back. But I want you to hear first, because we're going to talk to you about three things about World War III. And this is a prophecy that was given by Jim Baker with about a war beginning in the Holy Land, how God had shown him this war beginning in the Holy Land. And this word was given in 1999. And then we're going to talk to you about today, what is taking place today. Listen up.
Now, here's the rest of the things that have not come pass of the 31 things. I know these sound so far out that some of them scare me to say them, but I'll just lay them out. And we'll see what happens. There's a possibility, and all of these things can be stopped. Most of them can be. if the church will intercede. But there's a great possibility that the Third World War could begin, which will affect and begin in the Holy Land. The possibility of an atomic bomb literally being exploded. God spoke to me the other night. I believe it was God. I saw things that scared me. I saw a bomb being assembled in New York City. There's a possibility this bomb is already being assembled in New York. I believe there's going to be a major explosion in New York. And that is something that has just been spoken to me in the last few days. There will be a great earthquake in Japan, which will bring total financial collapse to the Japanese economy. There will be worldwide economic disasters take place, bank failures, stock market collapse, deterioration of the most trusted stocks, even as Coca-Cola, and this already happened. Coca-Cola dropped within weeks after this was spoken to me. I believe there's going to be many signs in the heavens, in the sun. Great confusion is going to take place in Europe. Literally, there's going to be a call for world leader. And this was the part.
You understand, that is just, you understand, this was 1999. What happened after that? They actually arrested a man in a Ford Blazer or something in Manhattan that he had a bomb that he had built, and that part came to pass. Mm-hmm. But obviously God had mercy and prayers was answered and that bomb was stopped, whether that was the one that was going to be happening or not. But he was building that bomb, as you know, Jim was talking about.
I don't know if you know this, but Nancy, the person we know, her brother was right at that very exact place where that man was arrested in New York City. Yeah. For that bomb, he could have lost his life that day.
Yeah, I mean, it's everybody thinks huge in Manhattan, but really it's just compact. Mm. It's just very compact. And
she also bans Yahoo's work from home to separate family time from work time.
Absolutely amazing, Steve. I mean, this is prophecy.
Coming to pass.
And it's coming to pass, and it's important that we begin to look back and start connecting the dots and saying, okay, is it that moment? Mm-hmm. And what I find so many times is that, you know, we can live life unplugged from reality. I mean, you have holiday season coming up or whatever season you're in, there's always a reason to get lost, whether it's shopping or vacation or whatever. Things, you know, that happen in your own personal life. But listen, there's a world that's ticking all around mm-hmm. us, and we have to be engaged. We have to live life with intention and purpose. And many Americans have completely disconnected to what's happening. Many Christians don't even know what's mm-hmm. happening. And it's important that we say, wait a minute, we have to know what's going on. How can we partner with God and pray his will? May your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. How can we do that if we're not informed, if we don't know the time and the season mm-hmm. in which we're living in?
Yeah, when you look at these events, and you look at that and it highlights, you know, where are we on the prophetic timetable? Where are we in the grand scheme of things? Because just knowing these events, that's what you hear us say, it's not enough to know the news. You got to know God's news behind the news. And the reality is, it's just like, if you realize that you were in the last days, would you live your life any differently? Because it's one thing to see the news, but it's just like, okay, how does this apply to me?
Right.
Because yes, we're talking about World War III, but that doesn't guarantee that you're going to be living that. We could die tomorrow. Tomorrow is not guaranteed. So living in that reality of after this life is eternity.
Yeah.
How are we living our lives in the understanding that these are the last days?
These are the last days. And I knew that, you know, from the time that the disciples were walking with Jesus and mm-hmm. after Jesus, you know, returned back to the Father, mm-hmm. you know, they felt they were in the last days. But I'm telling you that never in all of history have all these events crescendoed and converged where, let me tell you, this is really the last days. But we got to look at the end game. What's really happening in the Middle East and what's it all about? And why is the bear, Russia, raising their head? It's about the oil. It's about the oil. Mm-hmm. Men still want to rule the world. It's still about money. And you look at what's happening now. You've been driving around your community in your town, and you've noticed day by day that oil prices, gasoline prices, keep going down below $2. I remember over 13 years ago when someone once told me, you're going to wish that gas would stay around $2 a gallon. You'd wish for the day when it went up to almost $4 a gallon. Now we're back mm-hmm. to gas being under $2 mm-hmm. $1.80 in some places. And the question is, what is going on? Well, right now, there is an overproduction of oil. There's an overproduction. They're flooding the market. And right now, where oil was selling at $100 a barrel, some estimates now that oil is selling now at $50 a barrel. The problem with that is that some countries, like Great Britain, it cost them $52 a barrel to produce it.
Right.
So they're actually
losing
money. It's at a negative. And what's happening is that the OPEC nations are getting together because Saudi Arabia does not want to halt production.
Mm-hmm.
What's happened is that the United States is actually right now produces and they're on the same pace as those countries in the Middle East as far as their production with oil. And it wasn't a common occurrence before, but because of shaling and what's been going on, the United States is producing quite a bit of oil, and so now there's a lot more competition. Well, OPEC is really these nations that have come together. They're saying and putting the pressure on Saudi Arabia, cut the production. And Saudi Arabia's plan, according to what reports on CNN Money, is that they're wanting to flood out the competition. They want to get them out, liquidate it, make it as cheap as possible, and get the competition out. But some of these other countries are not going to be able to stand the pressure. They won't be able to make it. I want you to watch what is OPEC, because we hear OPEC in the news, and who are these 12 nations, and what exactly do they do? We have a brief segment here that kind of explains a little bit about what this organization is and what do they do. Watch this.
Whenever you hear about oil, the word OPEC isn't far behind. OPEC stands for the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries. It's a group of 12 nations that have a lot of clout in the energy market because they produce about one third of the world's total oil and export it around the globe. That's about 30 million barrels of oil every single day. It was formed in 1960, the goal to coordinate oil production to ensure that members are pumping enough supply to meet demand. If all 12 countries play by the rules, it can help to regulate and stabilize global oil prices. But there are also plenty of major oil-producing nations that are not part of the OPEC club, including the United States, Canada, Mexico, and Russia. And they don't attend OPEC meetings, and as such, they're not bound by the cartel's decisions. And as these nations have increased their production over the past few years, OPEC's influence in the market has plunged. There's now an excess of oil supply, which has pushed down prices significantly. The price drop has caused political problems in some OPEC countries that rely on oil sales heavily to fund their governments. Well, OPEC's grip on oil may be getting weaker, but it also means lower prices at pumps around the world.
Some reports are, Steve, this is amazing. Some reports are that the Minister of Oil in Venezuela says that oil can go as low as $25 a barrel. A lot of these countries won't even be able to survive. Some reports are that if Saudi Arabia keeps their same production, that within 5 years, they can lose basically all of their resources. I mean, they'd lose all their finances.
Wow.
Imagine
huge.
That. Huge. Yeah. Saudi Arabia. And so these are important days. There is a chase. There is a run after the oil and control of it.
Mm-hmm.
And don't underestimate what nations and leaders of nations will be willing to do for oil. But in the midst of all of that narrative, there are people, there are souls that are losing their lives. And we can't get caught up on what all, the, you know, oil and money and boundaries and borders. We have to be able to realize that, listen, how can we get the gospel into these nations and save as many souls, preach the gospel, preach the good news? This is the time and the hour to do it more than ever, because the world and the landscape and is changing. It's changing by the day.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.